Welcome, podcast listeners. Ray!
Hey, Tia. Good to be back.
It's so strange to look at you without a blindfold.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, a lot of people say that from either side. They'd prefer to look at me while wearing a blindfold, but hey.
Well, you look great today.
I took a bath. And you always look lovely, as always.
Thank
very
you.
Very lovely.
Hey, we should have a video going on our shows.
We're working on the live streaming. Bolton is trying to figure out how to do that. There are certain, you know, statutes involved, especially since we do this in the nude. There'll be things that we have to, you know, work on, but it's all good.
Everything for the show.
Anything for the show.
So, Ray, what's on our agenda today?
Well, we got a lot of stuff going on. We got the news on the way.
Oh, yes.
And I have, after the excellent surprise segment that you and Morton did for me last week, I don't know if I can top that, but I think I have something that's going to challenge you a little
really?
Bit. I want to challenge you. I really do.
I love a
and
challenge.
It's based on a conversation that we actually had off the air, and we'll continue with it on the air.
I'm very excited.
So, how are we starting?
Let's start with news. And as always, I'm going to quiz you.
Okay.
Little quiz question.
Again, with the quizzes.
So, yeah. Well, what is, pay attention, Ray, what is this the theme music to?
That's the elevator music, the greatest hits, I'm guessing.
Who doesn't know this? This is the official theme music for the Academy Awards ceremony.
That's right. The Oscars are coming up on Sunday, and Denmark, little old Denmark, we're in contention to win two, maybe even three awards.
Indeed, and first of all, Ona Senu, or Land of Mine, if you prefer the English name, is nominated for Best Foreign Language Film. It's the fifth time in 7 years that Denmark has been nominated in this category, which isn't bad for an award that 100 countries tend to submit entries for.
Yeah, it really doesn't have a hope, actually. I mean, but it should it win, it's important to remember that the award is for the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just Suzanne Bia, but all 5.5 or 6 million Danes. Everybody's a winner. It's very Danish.
Everyone's a winner.
Everybody gets a trophy.
And then there's Silent Nights, which is nominated in the live action short film category.
The live action short film.
Yes.
Category. Okay.
And its pedigree is, well, it's better than Meryl Streep's.
Are we going with Meryl? We pick it on Meryl again.
And as I said last time, it's Danish producer M&M Productions, nothing to do with the candy, and has won four Oscars in this category in the last 20 years. One in 1998, mm-hmm. one in 2002, mm-hmm. 2009, and most recently for Helium in 2013.
Again, very Danish. They found a category that nobody really cares about and made it their own. So let's face it, they are very lucky if they even make the highlights reel.
It's like curling. In fact, Danish media paid more attention to American Danish actor Viggo Mortensen getting a Best Actor nomination because he's spent a few weeks Euro-railing here in the 80s.
Yeah, it's funny because they never seem to get excited at all about Michael Madsen, Mr. Blonde from Reservoir Dogs, whose dad is also Danish. But then again, there are sadly no awards for Best Supporting Grump.
I think that's your category, right?
You know, it really upsets me that because even on this show, you would think that, but no, never mind.
No. Anyhow, Viggo Mortensen, and he looks pretty good for somebody who is 58.
Never noticed.
He's up for playing the lead in Captain Fantastic,
mm-hmm.
his second career nomination following a Best Actor nod for Eastern Promises for 2007.
And one can I say, though, Captain Fantastic is a fine film,
yes.
and Viggo does a great job. And one thing's for sure, though, we will not be seeing Lars von Trier. Most of his films are in English, so he has never even made the shortlist, believe it or not, for Best Foreign Language Film.
Really? He hasn't?
Nope. In fact, his only Oscar and Golden Globe nomination is somewhat peculiar. It's a shared nomination. Now, one of the greatest directors of ever, he has a shared nomination for the Best Original Song for Dancer in the Dark. So,
okay,
that's weird, well, but there you go.
Last week, we learned that he has cast this country's most prolific ever cardigan saleswoman, Sophie Grosbeul, Sarah Lone in Fort Williamson.
Okay, okay, yeah.
In his film, The House That Jack Built. And that filming will start in Copenhagen in May.
Okay, I was wondering where you were going with the cardigan thing, but now I have it, okay. But here's a question. Mm-hmm. We know it's about a serial killer, played by American actor Matt Dillon. We could presume that Sophie will play a victim and that it's set in Copenhagen, so it's a film about an American expat offing Danes.
And if it is, who's been speaking to my psychiatrist?
Never mind.
But, I mean, last one, Sophia, you've got to love him. I mean, mm-hmm. to recall him fondly in those pre-Trump days when we could afford to get a raid about somebody showing sympathy for Hitler as opposed to emulating him.
I mean, yeah, those okay, were good there you days. Go. Those were good days, I'll tell you. And Ricky Gervais, he was another one. Give him the Golden Globes today and nobody would even notice. Such is the day-to-day ridiculous and nonsense of the current U.S. administrations, and yes, those are my people, the circus act that's going on over there on a daily basis.
The circus act. The poo-poo storm. But we have noticed you, Ricky, though, and that tickets for your show at the Royal Arena on September 29 are going on sale on February 24th, which is, well, pretty much now.
Right about now, yeah, that's, you know what? As you know, I'm not big on going to things with big crowds, but this is one I may have to look at. And also coming to Denmark, wow, this is amazing to me. I mean, just listen to this voice. We have learned our Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds playing the Royal Arena on October 20th. The Beach Boys legend Brian Wilson, who will be performing at the Odeon Odense on June 29th. English singer-songwriter James Morrison, who's coming to the Aalborg Congress and Culture Center, a good place to see a show, mm-hmm. on April 26th, and Hollywood composer Hans Zimmer, who's putting on a show at the Copenhagen Forum on May 22nd. Little Denmark getting a lot of major music coming up.
Fantastic year for music, mm-hmm. yeah. And a notch up on the official theme music for the Academy Award ceremony, we hope. So let's turn the volume up on that elevator tune, huh?
Kick it, let's rock. You know, it may sound odd to those of us who have tried queuing for a bus or at a shop in Denmark, but according to a report from the Scandinavian airline SAS, Danes have the best queuing manners in Scandinavia.
That's so boring. I mean, best queuing manners. That's rich.
Hey, don't laugh. Only 22% of Danes admitted to trying to skip to the front of queues at airports, compared to 40% of Norwegians and 47% of Swedes.
You know, I read somewhere that Danes were called supermarket robots because they just go in and they get their things and then they go to the checkout and, you know, there's no eye contact. There's no real human emotion. And I guess this also means that they're really good at queuing as well.
Well, for me, you know, that's probably one of the reasons why I get along so well here, because I'm that kind of shopper. I know what I want. I go in and I buy it, yeah. And I leave. That's, well, you know, I grew up in the southern part of the U.S. where people stand in line for 3 hours and talk about mama. I'm over that.
Yeah.
I'm over that.
You're but also a man, you know.
Yeah, there is that.
You have a plan. You go in, you make good time.
Yeah, but, you know.
You make good time.
Out, in and out, in and out, in and out.
But is queue jumping the kind of thing you would admit to in a face-to-face market research interview? I mean, really. If you say yes, you run the risk of a series of follow-up questions that might try to fame you as someone sort of a criminal narcissist. Say no, and you cut to page 4 and get to the checkout earlier.
I'm right here. In fact, you know, a queue jumper is exactly the kind of person who will lie in a survey that is turning out to be more lengthy than they thought it would be. I know that for a fact.
I would like to think that queue manners are most important when there is no queue, like when you're waiting to get on a train or get served at a bar.
Yeah, and there are gray areas, like how long should you give the person in front of you to realize that a new checkout has opened at the supermarket before the person behind you cuts in front of you. But see, that is a capital hanging offense where I'm from. You do not The person behind you in the line at the supermarket is not allowed to cut over in front of you when the new...
What if they have fewer items? Is it... And if they ask you, oh, I'm in a hurry, my wife is in labor, I have to get this pack of cigarettes.
Well, I'm actually very polite about that sort of thing. If I'm standing there with, you know, 10, 15 things and there's someone behind me with one pack of smokes or whatever, I'll say, yeah, you can go in front of me.
But they have to ask.
But they should ask. Well, I'll ask them. Or, but this thing where, you know, I'm here, you're two people behind me, a new checkout opens and you go over there. I'm not really, you know, inclined, you know, just
you
saying.
Snooze, you lose,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I don't know. We've shared this on the Copenhagen Post Facebook page. It's a great place to visit if you have the time, as we do not blindly share everything we publish, just the stories that are useful to know or that scream only in Denmark. We shared this out there.
And what were the reactions?
Well, almost hysterical. In fact, several comments. Menders ask us, hey, is this April 1st?
You know? Okay, I want to read some of these comments. Here's three of the favorites. Mm-hmm. Often it feels like someone is trying to climb up your behind.
Exactly. I often say, listen, if you're going to get this close, I really wish you would kiss me on the neck. I'm just...
Then here's another one that says, one of the most ridiculous things I've experienced over here is people pushing to get off the bus or plane. It's as if they think there's not going to be any space left for them in the world, so they need to grab what they can first.
Yeah, that was new for me.
And the last one, best is when they're at the airport. Like a gas, they fill every available space at the gate, and 9 times out of 10, the jet is not even at the stand.
You know, I have to admit that anyone who's ever traveled with me, anyone who's ever flown with me, I'm that kind of person. Morten knows I'm that kind of person that, you know, when it's getting to 25, 30 minutes before boarding time, I'm one of those people that's kind of inching my way to the front of the gate, inching my way to the front of the line, because I want to make sure that I get on. It doesn't matter that
you
I have a ticket.
Come on. You know what I really
it's
dislike?
It's the overheads, too. I need space up there, you know? I need space up there, isn't it?
What I really dislike is when the plane has already stopped, taxied, whatever, we're just waiting for the doors to open, and then the guy next to the window stands up. It's like, where do you think you're going?
Yeah, that's
like, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah. The guy next to the window. The people six rows, you know, behind you, they're like moving down there. It's like, wait a minute, there's an order to this. But
yeah,
it's all about traveling and it's all about, you know.
It's all about basically just, you know, being polite to each other, as polite as we can. Well, if you're queuing airplane, it doesn't matter.
But that's a good point, and you make a good one. And this is what I try to explain to some of my American pals and pals from Ireland, England, whatever, that being polite, being socialized, isn't the same from country to country to country. It's different. And so what we or you or what it might consider rude or, you know, unpleasant behavior isn't that at all where you might be at that time. I know people that work for certain restaurants and cruise ships in the area that have to explain to their staff that it's perfectly okay for some people from other cultures to belch and fart after a meal, and they're not being rude. And so, you know, it's just a matter of understanding the lie of the land and trying not to impose your values on other people. You think?
I agree with you, Ray. I have to say, I agree with you.
Tia agreed with me. Can we write that down somewhere?
Yes.
Anyway, coming up...
What do we have, Ray?
Well, don't forget that this entire podcast is based on a newspaper, mm-hmm. the Copenhagen Post, and we have a website, cphpost.dk, the Copenhagen Post, and we also publish an actual hard copy of the newspaper, a relic from a different age, about to completely go out of style.
Which you can get and you should get, because there's a lot of very good stuff in there.
It expands on all of this stuff, and there's always a lot of good information about what's going on in town, not just show-wise or club-wise or whatever, but how to get around places, a lot of good information for expats and where to find certain job things. And so you make sure you pick it up, and I know for a fact that as we're doing this today, they are hard at work on this edition of the actual hard copy of the newspaper, so make sure you do that.
Indeed. And if you can get the hard copy of the newspaper, we also have a website,
yes.
cphpost.dk.
That's us.
You can find all the news there. And for our little podcast, we have an email address
yes,
as
we do.
Well. podcast@cphpost.dk. So please send us an email.
She's lonely. Write to her. She really needs company. And so coming up, it's the surprise segment. And you surprised me, and Molten surprised me with food last week.
That is correct.
This week, it's all about music.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Okay.
So, the surprise segment in which we bring every week to our co-host something funny. That can be a video, it can be a news article, it can be an item, just as long as the other host does not know what is installed for them and the reactions or the surprise is genuine. And we've had a couple of good ones. Mm-hmm. Well, you've had the boring ones.
I had a boring one, and you had two good ones. And we're building on, these things are building on each other, which is something I like. You built on my somewhat boring one with a menu one where you blindfolded me and force-fed me food last week. And by the way, you will both be hearing from my attorney soon. And so that's fine. And that was good. But, you know, you and I had a discussion not too long ago, we were talking, because everyone, Molten and I and yourself, we love music, and Molten and I are both musicians and singers and musicians, and we were talking about a book that I was reading called This Is Your Brain on Music, in which we talked about how music used to be, before we turned it into a performance art, it just used to be something that everyone did. That's, you know, if you go into a classroom full of 5-6-year-olds and you say, can you sing? Everyone's going to say yes. All kids are going to say yes. They're going to say, sure, I can sing.
Yeah, but
I can dance.
The standards changed for that question.
Well, if you go into some parts of the world right now, the native cultures, they sing and they dance. It's part of their life. There's no elevating this person to a performer. There's no elevating that person. It's just part of the culture.
I'm kind of feeling where you're going with this.
So I decided that even though you say you have not and cannot, that you can sing.
Ray.
And you are going to sing. And, you know, I really tried. I want you to know this. I want you to know this. I really, really tried to learn the Hungarian national anthem.
Oh, no.
And I've decided that that's a physical impossibility for anyone who hasn't heard it.
It's three including or four, us.
Exactly. For, including the Hungarians. It's really, really kind of... And,
it's,
you know, I was...
It's beautiful, though.
It's a beautiful song, and I read up a lot on the history and stuff about it when I thought I was going to do this. I did not realize that even though it's been around, like, forever, it really only got included in the Constitution, like, in the late 80s. It only became a formal anthem that far back, and that way, way back, time out of mind, that there used to be a battle over which one was actually the anthem. And,
yeah,
you know, but the one that you have now, I was also fascinated to learn that it's actually included in your passport.
Yes.
Yes,
there's
this is
correct.
Chip in there. Anyway, I went through all this studying, and I listened to it and went, nah, I'm not going to be able to learn that in a couple of days. It's a complicated piece of classical music. And it's really amazing. You guys can actually sing that at like a sporting event or something?
We do that, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Molten,
we get all teary-eyed as well.
Yeah, you cry and stuff. Before we move on to this, we'll make sure that Molten plays a clip from it or maybe closes the show with it. But anyway, that was too complicated for my meager skills. So I've decided that I'm going to have you sing because anybody can sing.
I need to hold up a help sign.
Anybody can sing. I'm going to have you sing one of the most well-known folk songs in the history of the world.
I don't know this song.
Yes, you do. Everybody knows this song.
Oh, Ray, seriously. Why are you doing this?
Just remember the Fresca Thai sandwich. So Tia's going to sing...
I don't know the song.
Tia's going to sing John Denver's Leaving on a Jet Plane for
And
us.
Now all those beautiful people out there who love this song hate me because I don't know it.
Tia?
Yes. I don't know the song.
Should I help you?
Yes.
All my bags packed, I'm ready to go. So kiss me and smile for me.
Help me, Ray.
Tell me. Like you helped
Wait
me with the sandwich.
Come on, I did help you.
Hold me like you'll never let me go. Sing it to you. Cause I'm leaving.
it gently.
Close enough.
Gently. Don't know when I'll be back again.
I like
it. Babe, I hate to go. I want to stay.
You're rushing through this. You're rushing through this.
There's so many times I've let you down.
There you go. There you go. Now tell.
So
tell
many
me.
Times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I'll think of you.
Slower.
Every song I sing.
Deeper.
I'll sing for you. When I come back, baby, I'll bring your wedding ring.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Ah, oh, Ray.
That was lovely.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a memory that I will hold dear for many years to come. Wow. All right.
You asked for it.
You're on, mister.
You asked for it, sweetie.
No, and how hard was that on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being angelic and 1 being, you know, the
You know, when you started
hell.
Talking, it was actually pretty cool. You see, when you started talking, it was actually pretty cool. All right, let's say goodbye. I can't hear anything again.
Postcast right. Listeners, thank you so much for, if you have arrived at the end of this song, thank you for sticking around. If you can, please go into iTunes and leave us a review, because it helps us so much
it
in
does.
Getting up in the ranks and delivering you better stuff every week.
Better than that last segment?
Ray, yes, I better just, than that last segment.
I have to say, Postcast listeners, that I very, very much enjoyed it when Tia dropped into the Lou Reed talking version of John Denver. That brought the song home for me.
Thank you, Ray.
Brought it home.
My name is Tia Hoka.
I'm Ray Weaver. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.